Well, good morning. Great to see you here in the air conditioning and staying cool. Let's pray as we encounter God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and all that it gives us. We ask now that you would help us both to hear and respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love the title and the phrase, embracing every opportunity. It's an everyday expression. We might use it for someone who, having gone to, say, university, takes the opportunity afforded them. The uni might have a gym or other clubs, so they sign up. Never played squash, they might say. Well, hey, it's on offer, so why not? The uni might have career guidance or study help, so make an appointment. Embracing every opportunity might be used about someone in a company. They might want to really progress from being on the shop floor to advance through to management. So they take the opportunity to work late, take the shifts that no one wants, work hard at delivering things on time, take the opportunity for leadership coaching if it's offered, and any opportunity that might lead to a senior position they take. And you get this picture of someone who is hardworking, maybe wholehearted, determined, with an almost shameless passion. It doesn't matter what others say, they're looking for any and every opportunity to fulfill their goal or mission. When I read the accounts of Jesus, I get this strong sense that Jesus embraced every opportunity. Not to progress to a better paid position, but to fulfill his Father's mission, which was to create a people for his own glory. So when he strikes up a conversation with the woman at the well, he moves the conversation from just talking about a request from water to talking about spiritual water. The woman is happy to engage with Jesus because she is thirsty for something she's missing in her life. And so Jesus embraces the opportunity because this woman matters. Jesus wants her and every person to be part of his people. And this is what Liz covered last week. But we move on in this story, part two. The opportunity taken by Jesus now has a flow-on effect. John's gospel shows how Jesus' interactions with a woman spreads out to others coming to faith in Jesus, as the woman also embraces the opportunity to then share her own faith, what she's discovered about Jesus. Jesus' love for those considered outsiders and the light he holds in a world of darkness means that he will take every everyday opportunity to share the gospel, the good news, with others. And I think we would do well to cultivate and fuel that kind of same passion that Jesus had as we encounter others during our week. So we're going to look at John chapter 4 from verses 27 to 42. If you have the Bible on your phone, or if you don't have a Bible, but there's Bibles in the wall, in the bookshelves in the walls, then please help yourself. We're at John chapter 4 from verse 27. And for those that might not yet be aware, our past sermons are also online, so if you just happen to nod off to sleep, you know that you can kind of catch up that way. I want us to look at this passage with the lens of noticing how the gospel is shared. And so I've come up with three words that will help us do this. First one is boldness. Second one is teamwork. And the third one is journey. Boldness, teamwork, and journey. These words are part of effective evangelism and help us to embrace every opportunity. Well, the first aspect is boldness. Embracing every opportunity requires boldness. In our passage, we find that the Samaritan woman is bold. Not only does Jesus take bold steps to cross cultural prejudices to speak with the woman also engages Jesus in a conversation. I think it's good just to focus on this fact for a minute. There was no love lost between Jews and Samaritans at that time. The history of it was that the northern kingdom of Israel was defeated by the Assyrians, the majority were exiled, and the Assyrians repopulated the area with peoples then from other nations, which resulted in a mixed race called the Samaritans. After the southern kingdom of Israel was defeated and their exiles came back to Babylon, these people were named Jews. The Jews began to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritans offered to help rebuild it, but they were rejected at that time. So the Samaritans built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. Fast forward then to 128 BC, the Jewish king Hyrcanus destroyed the Samaritans' temple. Then in the time while Jesus was a child, the Samaritans defiled the Jerusalem temple by scattering dead bones in it. And later, 20 years after Jesus' encounter with this Samaritan woman, pilgrims from Galilee traveling through Samaria to Jerusalem were massacred by Samaritans. Really, all this is just to say that there was a deep-rooted history of anger and hurt between the two peoples. And this is what makes the encounter between Jesus and this Samaritan woman so remarkable. Jesus is bold, the woman is bold. The disciples, by contrast, were thinking, why is Jesus here talking with a woman? It's clear that the disciples do not understand that the Samaritans are included in those Jesus wants to save. So after discovering who Jesus was, verse 28 continues the story. Then after leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" We have this picture of a woman so excited by Jesus, the Messiah, and the offer of living water that she goes back to town. She's so excited that she forgets the reason that she was at the well in the first place and leaves her water jar. Or perhaps she doesn't forget but doesn't want to waste any time in racing back to town. So she goes back to town and invites the whole town to check Jesus out. She says in as many words, "Here is someone so amazing who knows me without even meeting me." The fact that he knew that she had five husbands and was now with another man, and the possibility that he is the Messiah, a Jewish Messiah that offers salvation to Samaritans, which is not tied to one physical sacred space, is such good news that she cannot contain it. So in verse 30, the people come out of the town and made their way towards Jesus. So she is bold, shares her testimony, and invites the town out to see and embraced really the opportunity to share the good news. Now, if she'd gone slowly back to town with her water jar, then Jesus and his disciples may have eaten and been on their way. So now was the time to share it, so that the town could meet Jesus before he left. What boldness. Evangelism takes boldness. Well, what is it? Well, boldness in evangelism is the courage to speak with freedom, plainly, and with confidence about Jesus. We know that Christians can be tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. Otherwise, why would Paul have mentioned it in chapter 1 of Romans? And we know that people often fear rejection by those they meet. So we kind of have this tendency also to back off from speaking plainly and with confidence. So let me give you four areas from a guy, Dr. Moyer from Dallas Seminary, to help you develop your boldness in sharing about Jesus. And I think these four things are quite helpful as we think about it. I think the first thing is to develop a confidence in the message. As shared previously, there's bad news, there's the good news, and then there's the invitation. Having confidence in the message that we believe in is important when we think about being bold. Second thing is developing a conviction that you are God's messenger. God wants to use each one of us to reach out to others. I don't understand it. It's a mystery. But God wants us, all of us, as part of his plan in sharing the good news. You are God's messenger. Develop a concern for people. I think there's a temptation with evangelism that we're like treating other people like objects. That is not the case at all. Each person is valuable in God. We're not dealing with objects but people. So are we listening to them? Are we open to what they're asking questions about? Are we willing to respond to their needs? We won't share our faith effectively if there's no genuine concern for others as people. And fourthly, develop consistency in your life. So that means just being consistent with the message that we're proclaiming, not being perfect, but when someone hears the message from you, they're not immediately thinking, well, that just doesn't really line up. We don't have to be perfect, but we need to be ourselves and authentic with them. And they can see the consistency between our life and our message. Growing in these things will help put us in a position where we can be bold in embracing every opportunity. We might expect different responses to the gospel, and we know that we're not responsible for really whether someone believes. That is up to God. But what's important is to be bold by doing our best to present the good news to those who might be listening. The second word from this passage is teamwork. Embracing every opportunity to harvest requires teamwork. The disciples go into town to get food. They come back, ask Jesus to have a bite to eat. But Jesus starts talking about spiritual food. There's a pattern here. Talk about water. He talks about spiritual water. Food. He's talking about spiritual food. He knows how to turn a conversation. Jesus says the most satisfying food for him is to do the work the Father has given him to do. Verse 34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Then he goes on in verse 35, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Jesus is saying the most satisfying food is to do God's work. And in this work, we're not alone. It's not like a solo sport like golf, but more like football. Not so much like chess, but more like sailing a big yacht with a crew. We're not alone in God's harvest work. And working the harvest was hard work. But it works best if there are a team of people. Jesus is saying that the harvest is ripe. In this context, the townspeople are returning and the Samaritans are ready for Jesus' message. The rewards are eternal life, and both the sower and the reaper are both going to be glad. Teamwork means that all the time, whenever we open our mouth to share the gospel, we know that God has gone before us and will continue after us. Others often have set a good example, planted gospel seeds. Could be our parents, godparents, grandparents, brothers or sisters, a work colleague. Could be from a book. Could be something someone's seen on Facebook. I can guarantee that I can talk to anybody here today And if I ask them about how they came to faith, we'll find many people who were directly or indirectly involved in the journey to faith. The good news for all of us who feel overwhelmed by the great harvest field is that we're only a part of a larger team. Not only with others at church, but with the Spirit who convicts hearts and Jesus as Lord of the harvest. A while ago, my wife got to know someone at her work, and she just wanted to know, this Christianity was all about. So Kate boldly invited her to an Easter service at our church. This young woman chose the morning service, not the more younger contemporary service that time, which might have suited her better. And Kate and I were like, this is not ideal as a first impression, you know. But we decided to trust that God knew what he was doing. Anyway, the woman got a warm welcome at the door. The service was wonderful. It was about the stations of the cross and really outlaid the kind of passion story of Jesus' death really well. It involved many different readers and people in the service. It actually didn't matter what the ages of the people were there. The gospel story of Jesus' death and resurrection spoke into her life, and coming from this, she came to faith through prayer and accepted an invitation to Alpha. My point is that neither my wife nor any one person involved was solely responsible for this woman coming to faith. It was a team effort. And if we do reap, to use Jesus' metaphor, we're reaping what we didn't sow. So this is why embracing every opportunity to harvest requires teamwork. And it's the kind of work, as Jesus says, that's satisfying and pleasing to his Heavenly Father. So we have boldness and teamwork. The third word is journey. Embracing every opportunity will contribute to a person's faith journey. This includes a variety of positive interactions with the message and the messengers. Journey to faith can often take time, and God uses different points, crises, people, events for belief. Here in this story, the people from town, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. So what we have here is a progression. The woman's bold testimony causes many to grow in faith. Then, after talking to Jesus over 2 days, many more believed. Verse 42, they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." And this last statement is significant because not only do we have those such as John the Baptist, Jesus' disciples, declaring faith in Jesus that we've heard in chapter 1, here in chapter 4, we have also Samaritans accepting Jesus as their Messiah. This is truly a significant witness to the person of Jesus as being who he says he is. It's a sign of things to come. Jesus is Saviour of the world, not of just one race of people, but of all peoples in the world. But coming back to journey, for some, the woman's bold testimony was enough. But for others, it was not only her testimony, but then engaging with who Jesus is and his message that caused them to believe. We need to know that embracing every opportunity is not all or nothing. But maybe it is sometimes, but usually it just means taking the small but bold opportunities, which contributes to the next step in someone's journey of faith in Jesus. I'm not sure if you're aware of the Engel scale. This was put forward a while ago by James Engel. as a way of representing the journey from no knowledge of God through to spiritual maturity as a Christian. As you can see, there's a lot of different steps there. And it breaks down into small steps where someone might be along that spectrum. I think the benefit of this model is that we begin to see each interaction that we have as potentially being part of a longer journey towards faith. Our role is often just helping people move, either through positive experiences with Christians or sharing or challenging them to make a commitment. Our role is to help grow someone's knowledge of an attitude to Christ, from a negative attitude perhaps to a positive one, from knowing nothing about Jesus to having a deeper understanding of Jesus and his invitation, and kind of wanting people to have an informed decision about following Christ. The model is not perfect, but I think it's good in helping us think about the kinds of opportunities we might look for in someone else's life and what they're open to. It's no use talking about justification by faith, as Liz pointed out last week, if what they need most in their next step is actually to experience someone being kind and loving to them, the kindness of a Christian. And it's no use only showing another person more of God's love through actions if what they're ready for to hear and understand is the good news and what Jesus means. A lot more could be said in this area, but I hope you get the idea. Embracing every opportunity is not one size fits all. It's often responding to the needs of the person in front of us and where they're at, like Jesus with the Samaritan woman. So let me finish, and as I do, I want to invite Simon and a few others up who are going to flesh out further what this looks like in their lives. So evangelism is simply about leading people to trust in Jesus, the Saviour of the world. And for this to happen, it takes embracing every opportunity to share about Jesus with boldness, with teamwork, and by contributing to the other person's faith journey towards trusting in Jesus. So my encouragement to us this morning is to look out for the opportunities and prepare for them. And let me know when you do take an opportunity so I can celebrate with you. This work is not always easy, but it's satisfying work. And as a church community, we have a role in encouraging each other to take these steps. So let's pray for God's help in this work. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to help us take that which is most important to us, an eternal and wonderful relationship with you, and help us to share it with others. Please fill us anew with your Spirit so we can fulfill this task. Amen.